When you're growing up, how did your parents get your attention? What'd they do? What was it? Was it a tone thing? With my kids, it's a tone. If I say girls, both my kids just either stood up or got in the fetal position. It's one way or the other, but they know the tone, right? Some of you may have grown up in a tonal household. I did not. I grew up in a household of the snap and point method. Okay? Let me see if I can do this. I've got sweaty hands today. But mother, whenever she wanted our attention and she really meant what she was saying, there were two things that took place. If she was talking to my brother, the first thing was David Curtis Hilliard. If she was talking to me, it was the full name, William Russell Hilliard Jr. And then it happened. You got the and the point. When that point happened, you understood from that moment forward, whatever came out of her mouth next, you were to do it. You were to do it then, and you were to do it without question. Now, of course, we were boys, which meant that typically it would that led to a right on the backside. So it was a nice segue. She already had half the hand warmed up and ready to go for what naturally came next. But parents have a way, in particular, let's just be honest. My girls, when they were little, I kept them both. And I did a lot of the bottle feeding and the diaper changing. And I did the walking at night. And I did the this and the that. But even to this day, there is something magical about the way that Lainey can say something to the girls, and it really does get done quicker than what it does whenever I say it. Because there's that special bond. It's a unique relationship. I know that personally, growing up, I enjoyed a very close relationship with my mom, and I've told you all about that before. I've told you all about the trips that we made from Nauvoo into Dyersburg, and Nauvoo to Memphis, and Nashville, over to Jackson and Henderson, and here and there, enjoying talking and singing, enjoying just simply being together. I've told you all about how that, realistically speaking, my mother, she was my first-sighted guide dog. I walked with Mama a number of times there, learning how to live life as a blind person. It was Mama that taught me how to put on a pair of roller skates, roller blades, and go have a good time on them. It was Mom, over and over again, who would teach me this and that. But it was also Mom who I listened to really close, especially when that came into play. Here in John chapter 2, we find an instance where the mother of Jesus says something that I don't know if it does, but it should leap off the page at you. Here in this particular text, Jesus, along with His disciples, as well as His mother, are in attendance at a wedding. The wine which was provided has run short. Jesus' mother, Mary, goes and tells Jesus about the situation. Jesus replying, of course, "What concern of this is mine? My time has not yet come." But then it's verse 5. This is what I want you to see today. Without saying anything else to her Son, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the perfect Lamb of God, she turns to the servants who are at the wedding feast and says, verse 5, "Whatever He says, do it." This morning we are continuing on with our sermon series in which we are examining the things that we can learn from the one whom He loved. We're of course examining the gospel according to John. We're looking through all that was written, all that was said, and most importantly for most of us, all that He witnessed. We're learning these different lessons that He learned and has been kind enough, gracious enough, and blessed enough to pass along to us today. The gospel according to John is breathtakingly beautiful, and this particular passage, it's no exception. We find a great lesson, and what I want you to take from this today is whatever Jesus says, Just as his mother said to those servants that on that long ago wedding feast, whatever Jesus says to you today, can I tell you what you should do? Do it. Whatever Jesus says, do it. What a simple concept, but unfortunately, it's a concept that we oftentimes we lose sight of it. This morning, I want us to examine the event that took place here. I want us to look beginning at verse number 6, and we're going to roll through about verse number 11 of John chapter 2 if you want to keep your Bibles open. I want you to see three things about what took place there. I want you to hear what Jesus said. I want you to see the results. And then I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus still speaks today. And I want you to look at the results of what takes place when we listen to Him today. Here's my hope and my prayer. My hope and my prayer is that we will examine the words of Jesus and we'll understand something. I heard Wayne Shear once make this statement and it stuck with me all these years. The words of Jesus are not just suggestions. The words of Christ are meant to be commandments that guide our life, not from a disciplinary standpoint, but from a love standpoint, from an eternal salvation standpoint, from a mercy standpoint, and oh, just by the way, from a grace standpoint as well. Join me then, and let's examine a couple of concepts that takes place. First of all, let's look and let's see what He said when He spoke, and let's look at the results thereof. Let's begin by looking at what it was that Jesus said. Look at verses 7 and 8 of John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Again, remember the context here. Christ speaking, He speaks to the servants. His mother has just told them, whatever He says, you are to what? Do it. So Jesus gives them these steps. Take the water pots, fill them with water to the brim. Pause. Did everyone catch the instruction which Jesus gave? Take the water pots, fill them with water to the brim. Not three quarters, not half, not a quarter, not almost to the brim. Jesus says, take the water pots, fill them with water to the brim. Next instruction, right there in verses 7 and 8. Draw water from them. That means get some of it out. Next set of instructions. Take it to the master of the feast. Now, let's pause for just a second, please. What Jesus has told them to do, as we've just broke it down, is extremely simplistic, isn't it? He has said, fill the water pots. Don't just fill them, but fill them to the brim. He has said, then draw some of the water out. Then He has said, take it to the master of the feast. Folks, I want you to see that the words and instructions of Christ, they're not complicated. He didn't try to confuse the servants. He didn't try to do any razzle-dazzle to amaze and blow them away with His eloquence. Instead, He simply said straightforward what He expected of these servants who had been told, do what He says. Straightforward. Fill it, take it, serve it. Fill it, take it, serve it. It's so simplistic, isn't it? But don't just look at what He says. Look at verses 9 and 10. I want you to see something here. This was interesting to me as I was studying and getting ready for this lesson. The servants, they take, in verses 9 and 10, and they take that has been prepared to the master of the feast. It's given to him. He samples it, calls to him the bridegroom. And here we see him actually chastising the bridegroom just a little bit, doesn't he? He says, you know, typically what happens, look at verses 9 and 10, typically what happens is that the best wine is put out when? First. And drunk by the guests. And then the inferior is put out. In other words, you start with the best, and as it dwindles, you're putting out inferior and more inferior. But then look at the last part of verse 10. But you have held back the good wine. In other words, that which they prepared under the instruction of Jesus, those simple, easy-to-follow steps, what they prepared was the best that the master of the feast had had. I want you to see something about this. Follow me here. The words that Christ spoke at the wedding feast here in Cana of Galilee, as he walked along the shore, as he was down in the villages, as he was in the towns, as he was in small hovels, as he was out, no matter where he was, in the garden, the words which Jesus spoke, I want you to understand something. Did they have eternal salvation? Absolutely. But I want you to see, they also improved life right then, Jim, and right there. This master of this feast, he partook of that which was prepared and immediately noticed how good it made things. Keep that thought in mind. Look at verse number 11, though, because if you really want to know what's the import of this, what is the real underlying, what is the big takeaway from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11? I would submit to you it's actually verse number 11 itself. Because I want you to look at what it says there. These signs Jesus began to do here in Canaan of Galilee in order to manifest His glory, but notice what the results were. Yes, verses 9 and 10, there were results right then and there. Master of the feast, blown away by that which was given. Life was improved. Everything was made better right then, right there. But notice about the disciples. The disciples believed Him. You see, these simple, easy-to-follow steps, these instructions that led to a betterment of the situation there in verses 9 and 10, they also led, simplistic though they were, easy-to-follow though they also led to folks hearing and believing in Jesus. Brethren, when we hear the words of Christ, when we experience the true simplicity of the gospel, these same things can and will come to pass. So when we look at John chapter 2, I submit to you, we see what He said when He spoke, but we see some rather amazing results. Now, let's move on to our second point, because I want you to hear this. I want us to consider what we hear when He speaks and the results of those words. I want us to hear what He says when He speaks and the results of those words. Now, instantly some of you are thinking, what do you mean Jesus speaking today? Rusty, are you talking about the voices that I hear in my head? No. That's something you're going to need to take up with someone else. That's a therapy thing. That's not a Rusty thing. That's something you've got to go and find out some help with. Right, Jim? I want you to go and work on that this afternoon. You come back to us this afternoon with the results of your efforts. But I want to talk to you about what Jesus says when He speaks to us, because believe it or not, Christ still speaks today. Jesus still speaks today. Matter of fact, He said over in Luke chapter 21, verse number 33, as He was making His way closer and closer to His date with death upon the cruel cross of Calvary, I want you to see what He says. Heaven and earth will what? Pass away. But by no means will my word, what? Pass away. Folks, the words which Jesus spoke as He walked along the shore beside the riverbank of the River Jordan and down in the villages and in the small hovels and as He stood in the temple, those words, they still mean something to us today. You know why? Because by no means have they passed away. Not by efforts of man, or by efforts of scholars, not by websites that have been constructed, not by books that have been written, not by debates that have been held, not by things above nor things beneath, not by heights nor depths, not by principalities. Nothing has been able to tear down the words of Jesus today. Nor will it ever. His words still stand today. And can I tell you something about His words? You remember how we went through there in John chapter 2 and I showed you how simplistic it was. How easy to follow it was. He didn't complicate it. He didn't mix things up. He didn't say, He wasn't wishy-washy, was He? He said, fill the pots. Draw from the pots. Serve. Real simplistic. Can I submit to you something? The same thing still holds true today. Consider 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. How do you know if you love God? Well, you're going to keep God's commandments, right? You're going to hear what He says. You're going to do what He says. And oh, by the way, look at 1 John 5, 3. I love how the New King James translates this. And His commandments are not burdensome. Return with me for just a moment to that wedding. These servants have been told by his mother, John 2, verse 5. They've been told, do what he says. They were there and they were told, fill the pots. Folks, that's part of the servant's job. Fill the pots. Draw from the pots. Part of the servant's job. Serve from the pots. That's part of the servant's job. They weren't being burdened in any way that was extraordinary. And the same thing applies to us today. We oftentimes, we get so upset, we say, well, I don't like what the Word of God has to say. Well, that's, if I may be so bold, that's too bad. I don't like how this passage of Scripture reads. Have you considered changing your heart? Because it's your heart that will need to change far before the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word of God, what did Jesus say? By no means will ever pass away. It's not burdensome. Jesus isn't putting more on you by giving you His words, His instructions, His guidance. He's not putting more on you than you're able to bear. His burden, they're not burdensome. His commandments, His words, His instructions. Well, let's ask this. It's a simple question. It's an easy question. It's one that we need to get through. What did Jesus say? What did He say to us? What does He say when He still speaks to us today? I tell you a passage that still speaks loudly to me today, and it's one that I almost need to hear every single hour of every single day. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Seek first the kingdom of man. Whoa. Nope. Seek first the things that you want and like. No. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is Jesus speaking here. And His righteousness. Now notice the final part of the phrase. And all these things will be added to you. Brethren, those words still stand today. They still hold true. They're still accurate and active today. And oh, by the way, they're not burdensome. Look at verse 34. Quit worrying about tomorrow. You know why? Tomorrow's got enough problems on its own. And oh, just by the way, you got enough to deal with right here, right now. That's what Jesus said. What did Jesus say over in Mark chapter 12, verse 31? Oh, this is a big one. Oh, that we would all, you know what? I tell you what, let me narrow this. Oh, that we in the church would simply listen to these words. Mark 12 and verse 31, and the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that's not too much to ask, is it? As servants, as purveyors of God's love, as representatives of God's church, as living examples of the sacrifice that He made, aren't we to all be about love anyway? Then let us do what Jesus said. Now, it's a question that possibly could be asked, and it's fine if you want to ask it. Rusty, what are the results for hearing the words of Christ and for applying them and for doing them and for showing them and revealing them and living them out in my day-to-day life? I'll point to you first. I'll point to Acts 4 and verse 12. It's those simplistic words spoken by Peter and the rest of the apostles as they had been called in again. In before the council because they had again been arrested and hauled in. And this time, though, as they were speaking, the council, they marveled. You know why they marveled? At the words that were being spoken by these unlearned, uneducated, lowly fishermen. You know why they marveled? Because these weren't the words of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These were the words that they had learned. Where? At the foot of Jesus. But note verse number 12. Peter there making a great declaration, a wonderful statement. Nor is there salvation found in any other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Folks, just do what He says. Stop questioning it. I have the opportunity, and I'm going to call it the opportunity to read some rather interesting and I'll put this in air quotes, opinions on Scripture. Thoughts, beliefs, assertions, and in some case, assumptions about the Bible, about the very words of Jesus. How about we stop worrying over what this individual said and this individual said and this individual said? Can I tell you something? This individual and this individual and this individual, there is not salvation to be found in their name. It's not there. You can't find it. You say, well, brother so-and-so back in 1922, as he was speaking there at the tabernacle. Whoa. I think it's great that you've listened and read. I think it's wonderful. But don't you dare put brother so-and-so from 1922 on par with the words of Jesus. Do what Jesus said. Obey Him and follow Him. Let's look at one more scripture before we close it out this morning. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Let's go over to Revelation 22. We're going to note verses 16 and 17. Because here we see a gigantic payoff. A wonderful payoff for hearing, following, and obeying the words which Jesus said simply, again as His mother said, Jim, doing what He says. Note what takes place there in verse 16. I, Jesus. Whoa. Who? I, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, now that I know that I'm hearing from you, what did you do, Jesus? Have sent my angel to testify to the churches. And then Jesus tells us a little bit about Himself. He is the root of the house of David. He is, I love this description. Is this not gorgeous? The bright and morning star. Notice what He says there. You see, by the time we reach Revelation 22, we have seen and we have discovered so much. We've heard so much of the revelation of Jesus Christ as it's labeled there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, given to John by that sent angel. We've learned so much. And now as Jesus is summarizing that great revelation that He gave to John, look at what He says. It's an invitation that comes. And if you're not following the words of Jesus, if you're not listening to what He says, if you're not applying it to your life, then you're missing out on this invitation. You know what He says? It's simple. He says, come. You say, but I don't know enough. Jesus says, come. But I've not fixed all the problems in my life. Jesus says, come. But I'm not quite perfect yet. Welcome to the club. Jesus says, come. Let he that desires take freely. Mary, as most mothers have the ability to do, she really did say it best, didn't she? Whatever He says, do it. Brethren, I pray that in the weeks, months, years to come in your lives, I pray that this will become our day-to-day mantra. Whatever Jesus said, I'm going to do it. Whatever the commandment was that was given, I'm going to do it. Because there's salvation to be found in no other place. And I just want to come. I want to come to Him. I want to know a closer walk with the God of all things. I want, Jim, you said it right off the top, 756. I want to go to heaven. Folks, brethren, let us join arms and let us simply do what Jesus said to do. You're here this morning, and I'll tell you some of the words that Jesus said. Matthew 11, I've quoted this to you before. Matthew 11 and verse 28. You who are weary, you who are heavy laden, you who are burdened down, especially with that sin, you know what Jesus says? Come unto me. You know why? Because He will take that burden that you can't get rid of. He will take it off your back. You hear this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. Today is the day. This is the time. This is the place. Don't meet me at the back door and say, listen, I've really been thinking about it, and tonight I'm going to come forward. No. Come forward right now. I've been thinking about it, and next Wednesday. No, not next Wednesday. We have a hard enough time getting folks here on Wednesday. You come now, this morning. at the opportune time that God has given you right this second. You say, well, Rusty, I've obeyed the gospel, but I've stopped doing what Jesus said. Maybe you're like those two Tennessee boys so long ago growing up. You've heard the... Every now and then, though, we need that around the backside, don't we? From time to time, we need somebody to just stand up and remind us, who's really in charge? Do whatever He says to do. If you're here this morning, and we can help you in any way, indeed, why keep Jesus waiting? Instead, come forward right now. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.